This podcast sponsored by Cherry Hill Volvo.
At Cherry Hill Volvo, we have absolutely incredible offers, and a plethora of both new and certified Volvos from which to choose. Join Cherry Hill Volvo for the pricing and attention you deserve. I am Judith Krupnik, president of Cherry Hill Volvo.
The Rich Cioli Show Podcast.
Former Attorney General, Acting Attorney General Sally Yates is testifying today in front of the United States Senate. I don't really know if it's worth taking live. I don't know what she's going to say. I don't know if it's interesting enough to take live. So we'll monitor it for you. She just started speaking now. And if there's anything newsworthy that comes from it, we will certainly bring it to you without question. So the Russian influence in the election continues to be the big story on Capitol Hill today. But you know, I still don't see any real fire here, just a lot of smoke. So I'm not really sure exactly, other than the hype and the drama, what there is to get out of this. And like I said, if there's something newsworthy that comes out of Yates, we'll certainly bring it to you. You have nothing to worry about. You're not going to miss a thing. But the big story, of course, besides Russia and France, is the healthcare bill and where it goes from here. Where does it go from here? Senator Chris Coons thinks that it's going to go nowhere until after the 2018 election. We'll talk about that as well a little bit later in the show. But I will tell you this. Regardless of whether or not we repeal and replace Obamacare, regardless of whether or not we have tax reform, regardless of whether or not there is a single substantial legislative accomplishment between now and 2018, the fact that we're getting so many wonderful conservative judges is everything we could have hoped for. It really is. It's everything we could have hoped for. It keeps getting better and better. It really does. There will always be these discussions between conservatives and Republicans and whether or not this omnibus bill violates this promise and whether or not the healthcare bill is really just a trimming around the edges and Obamacare is here to stay. But everybody's in agreement with the fact that the judges that keep getting proposed by the president, the names that are floated out there, are exactly what is the crucial point about this election. So I'll go into detail with some of the names for you and why it matters. It matters because, and I had this great conversation today with Chris Tagal and Dom Giordano. The three of us did a podcast today reflecting on the president's first 100 days. The podcast will be available shortly for you at cbsphilly.com, or I should say our Talk Radio 1210 WPHD page. And we had this conversation, the three of us, and Chris particularly, because he wrote a column about the absolute Trump derangement syndrome and the meltdown on the left and why does it continue happening. And his point was, really, there's not much that's happened on Capitol Hill that Democrats should be that upset with. And I said, I agree with you. Legislatively, there really isn't. Yeah, I mean, the Republican repeal and replace bill is not a total repeal of Obamacare. It really isn't. Nobody can say it is. It's a nipping around the edges, and you're going to get a new name out of it. But it's still the government being very heavily involved, the federal government being very heavily involved in healthcare, without question. And the tax reform's been proposed, but nothing's been voted on yet. There hasn't actually been any real substantive legislative achievement. There has been a scaling back of regulations, which is glorious. There has been an overturning of Obama's last-minute regulations before he left, which has been glorious. But the real issue, I think, the reason why there's so much meltdown on the left, the continual fear and loathing that's going on, even Bette Midler comparing the healthcare bill to Assad gassing his own people, is the Supreme Court and the court in general, the federal judiciary in general. It is the absolute reason why I think the left continues to melt down. They never thought they would lose this election. And in their minds, they thought Hillary Clinton was going to be able to appoint Supreme Court justices and get 25 years to 35, 40 years of progressive domination, because that's really how they win. They win at the bench. They win at the courts. They win in the Supreme Court. They win throughout the country by using these activist judges to do things that would never pass muster with the people or the people's representatives. They win at the bench. And so because they didn't think they were going to lose the election, they weren't prepared for this. And then Trump gets in there and he holds his word and he appoints an originalist, a strict constructionist, a constitutionalist to the United States Supreme Court. And lo and behold, that man gets confirmed by the Senate and is now Supreme Court Justice Neil Gorsuch. And they also know there's probably going to be another opening this summer. And they're panicking about that. And then they also think, well, Judge Ruth Bader Ginsburg is 83 years old, and whether she was 83 or 23, the woman's probably bonkers by now, and she's not going to be lasting a whole lot much more on the court either. So we're going to be replacing that seat as well. And they are panicked about the future of the country because of the court. And it all comes down to one case in particular, It's the case called Roe v. Wade. For them, it's entirely about that. I'm telling you, the same people that are losing their minds and wearing the pink hats and they're screaming and yelling and they're just losing their minds, it's not about any particular bill. It's about Roe v. Wade being overturned. They think it's going to happen. I don't know if it's going to happen. I have no idea if it's going to happen, but they're convinced it is. They are convinced that Trump is going to pack the court with people that he said he would pack the court with, who are strict constructionists, who are originalists, who adhere to the Constitution, who adhere to the original intent of the Constitution, the amendments, the laws, etc., who don't write from the bench, who don't legislate from the bench, who don't come up with things like a penumbra of privacy, and they are freaking out over it. That's my sense of what it all comes down to. I really do. I think that's what it really comes down to, is that they are now realizing that they don't have anything to stop Trump with Russia. Their grand impeachment scheme is gone. There's nothing here. There's nothing to show. I mean, even Dianne Feinstein last week said she has found zero evidence of any collusion between the Trump campaign and Russia. So that, you know, that ship has sailed. There's nothing there. How do you stop them then? Well, they know they can stop them legislatively to a degree. They know they can. You know, they can probably filibuster some things, maybe. Or they can try to work with the Republicans on various things, or they can send crazy people at town hall meetings to intimidate squishy moderate Republicans into backing down. But they can't stop them when it comes to the court because of the nuclear option, because of the Reid rule. They can't stop them. And I think that's really what the meltdown comes from. I think the absolute panic in the streets and the mass hysteria and people on the left losing their minds and the pink hats, it all comes down to Roe v. Wade. It all comes down to that Supreme Court case potentially being overturned in the future. They have no way to stop it. They have no way of stopping Trump and his judges because the Democrats years ago gave up the judicial filibuster. And then this year, the Republicans said, well, we're going to see your threat to end the judicial filibuster and we're going to apply it all the way up to the United States Supreme Court. And they don't know what to do. And so today it comes out there's vacancies throughout the federal judiciary on the Court of Appeals, in this circuit, that circuit or other. And they know there's going to be more conservative federal judges going on the bench. And there's also talk of breaking up their wacky Ninth Circuit, the nutty Ninth Circuit, and forming a whole new circuit. And this, I think, is the source of their angst. Because if you can't win at the ballot box and you can't win legislatively, if your ideas can't dominate in the People's House of Congress, then your only shot is to try to win in the courts. And if you lose that, then you've lost everything. There's nothing left. Now, I have no idea if there'll be an actual challenge to Roe v. Wade that would merit, or an abortion case that would merit overturning Roe v. Wade. I have no idea. But I know that you have a president who's committed to appointing justices who are, at least if they're not openly pro-life, they're openly of the mindset of, hey, the Constitution says what the Constitution says, and if it doesn't say it, it doesn't say it. So we can't go legislating from the bench and creating things like penumbras of privacy. We can't do this stuff anymore. And that really is the source of the meltdown. And it is an absolute meltdown when Bette Midler comes out and says that the Republican health care bill is the equivalent of Assad gassing his own people. And you have the swearing by Tom Perez, the chairman of the DNC, and I played this for you last week, we played this for you, and the week before we played this for you, out there on the campaign trail swearing. Now you got this Senator Chris Murphy from Connecticut who thinks he's going to be the next Trump, so he goes on Twitter and he starts firing off F-bombs on Twitter and crazy things on Twitter. They don't know how to react to it. And at the source of it is this incredible crippling anxiety that, man, whatever happens here, whether this guy's a one-term president or not, whether Trump is able to change the tax code or not, whether Trump is able to repeal and replace Obamacare or not, whether the president is able to strip away NAFTA or not, what he is able to do, what he has shown he's capable of doing, is transforming the courts. And they can't stop that. And that is really causing them to be upset. That is really causing them to lose their minds. I mean, think about it. We've had this conversation about the first 100 days over and over again, various outlets talking about, well, I mean, what has he achieved legislatively? All he got done was the House voted on an Obamacare repeal and replace bill. Yeah, but that's not the big story. The big story has always been Justice Neil Gorsuch. That has always been the big story. And the reason why you don't hear a lot of people talking about it is because it was a huge victory. It was a huge win. And now there's going to be more victories coming down the pike. Now there's going to be more victories coming down the pike as the president turns around and starts nominating people like Kevin Newsom, who is President Trump's nominee to the U.S. Court of Appeals for the 11th Circuit from Alabama. He's 44 years old. He's 44. He's going to be there a long time. And he is a guy who is an originalist, who is known as being an originalist, who is known as being somebody who applies the law as written. Or that the president has just going to appoint John K. Bush to the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Sixth Circuit from Kentucky. He's 53 years old, also a young guy. Vanderbilt guy, Harvard Law School. And he has also been known as a guy who is quite conservative on issues. Amy Coney Barrett, President Trump's nominee to the U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals for the Seventh Circuit from Indiana, 45 years old. In addition to the Supreme Court, it is the federal judiciary at all walks. Justice David Strauss, President Trump's nominee to the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Eighth Circuit from Minnesota, 44 years old. Young judges here. Justice Joan Larson, President Trump's nominee to the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Sixth Circuit from Michigan, 48 years old. Her academic writings include importing constitutional norms from a wider civilization. She's one of the people who the president has appointed because he has described her judicial philosophy that judges should interpret the laws according to what they say, not according to what the judges wish they would say. Judges are supposed to interpret the laws. They are not supposed to make them. She will now be confirmed, I imagine, to the Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals from Michigan. Now, this is a big deal because in addition to having Justice Gorsuch on there and all these judges throughout the land, you are reshaping the federal judiciary. And this is the kind of thing that will transform America for the next 25 to 50 years because these are young judges. Gorsuch is only 48 years old. Justice Neil Gorsuch is only 48 years old. And Ruth Bader Ginsburg's 83. You see my point here? You see where I'm going with this? The future holds young constitutional originalist judges at all walks of the judiciary. And whether or not we ever have a repeal or replace of Obamacare, whether or not we ever have tax reform, and whether or not we ever do away with NAFTA or renegotiate NAFTA, or any of those things that require legislative approval, the one thing we do know is that now that we have the Reed rule in place for the judiciary, the Supreme Court as well, Trump is going to get his judges, and the president continues to keep his word, only appointing strict constructionist originalist judges who look at the law based on what the law says, not on what the law should say or they want it to say. It is based on what the text of the law is. And that is why the left is absolutely losing their mind and panicking, because there's no way to stop it. And that's where they always got their victories. And now they're going to lose that, and they've lost the court of public opinion, they've lost the legislature, and they've lost the one place they were able to get through a lot of their nutty agenda, and that's the courts. That's why the pink hats are being broken out, and that's why people like Bette Midler and others are losing their damn minds.
Riccioli 3-6, Talk Radio 1210, WPHD.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.